Join the conversation. Join the conversation. You're with Cape Talk.
Right, let's talk briefly about power surges. Our life hack of the week is to remind you about the need to protect appliances and devices from the impact of power surges. Obviously, load shedding is going nowhere fast. It is now a fairly regular occurrence to hear colleagues and friends complaining about the toaster having given up or the printer has blown because of a power surge when the lights came back on. And one of our listeners has asked the million-dollar question, which is why I have an insurance guest on the line to talk to us about this, because their comment is, I understand that insurance companies are taking a dim view on power surges and other Eskom-related claims. There are rumours that these will be excluded from cover. Is that true? Well, we'll find out in just a second how one insurance company at least is handling it, but I'm sure he'll have some insight into how the industry in general is handling it. On the line with me is Ernest North, who is the co-founder of Naked Insurance. He's been with us before, and it's a great pleasure to have him back on the show again. Ernest, welcome again to Cape Talk.
Thanks, Papa. It's nice to be chatting to you again.
Thank you. Before we get to the insurance aspect and to that listener, I promise we will, I just want to just lay down a couple of points around power surges and what they are and how they can be handled before we talk about the insurance implications. In layman's terms, very simply, a power surge is exactly what it says it is. There is a sudden increase, a surge in the current flowing through your system, and that spike might only be a fraction of a second long, but it can cause damage to your devices either immediately or gradually over time when it happens again and again. And Ernest, with stage 5 and 6 load shedding at play happening again and again, is exactly what's happening, not so?
Exactly, Papa. And I think one of the things that we need to bear in mind is that a device can handle being switched on and off a couple of times. Every device, in the way it's manufactured, whether it's a fridge or your laptop being charged, being plugged into the wall, it's designed for it to withstand being switched on a number of times. However, what's happening at the moment is that we're seeing an excessive amount of times that device is being switched on and off effectively. And
yeah. And
what's happening is that is gradually causing a lot of damage to those devices and eventually shortening the lifetime of those devices. A power surge specifically refers to the case where when the power gets switched back on, either after load shedding or after a different interruption, but especially after load shedding, a power surge is when the level of the voltage that then comes via the feed, via the grid, is so high that for that microsecond, or however long it lasts, it actually is such a high voltage that it causes damage instantaneously, effectively, in layman's terms, frying or burning some of the electrical components.
Yeah.
Now, that is something which is increasingly happening after load shedding, depending on the nature of how frequently the grid gets turned back on.
Yeah.
But what we are seeing is that lots of devices are both gradually deteriorating in terms of how long they last, but also especially what we call power surge is this instantaneous surge of electricity, which does a very clear instant piece of damage to the device.
Okay. And we'll talk about some of the methods you can take to protect against that happening. But Ernest, thank you for giving that sense that it is happening more and more often. And it's affecting everything from the small appliances like the toaster and the kettle to the big ones, the big TVs, the computers, the fridges, the ones that are seriously expensive to replace. So it's really worth considering taking protection. Ernest, what can be done? As our DIY guy left to me, he told me he'd just bought a power surge protection plug system at Ellerines quite affordably to install in his home. That's one of the easiest things to do, not so?
So there's a number of practical things you can do. One of the sort of middle of the road scenarios is to get an electrician to come evaluate your DB board or your central supply and to build some form of protection in there that automatically protects your whole electrical system. If you've got specific plugs where you are, for example, you've got the fridge or the TV or the high-valued electronic items plugged into those plugs, buying a DIY plug that is not expensive and having a surge protection plug installed into those outlets is really something that is valuable. Mm-hmm. And of course, then the other thing we need to talk about is, in some cases, having a dedicated uninterrupted power supply for certain devices is worth it if you consider how much you are going to extend the lifetime of those devices. And something like a fridge and a deep freeze is something that is worth talking about, because those are supposed to last 10 years or 15 years. Yeah. And on average, we're seeing people saying that after 4 or 5 years, those things are packing up. And that's literally just from being switched on and off again.
And of course, those are the things which come with lots of knock-on expenses if they do go wrong, Ernest, because it's the contents of the fridge, the contents of the deep freeze. Imagine if you've stocked up on meat in your deep freeze and that goes off and everything defrosts while you're at work, for example. There are additional costs associated with the failure of those devices. So
exactly. Eskom has made that we need to plan our days and our weeks a bit longer in advance now and be a bit more proactive in that regard.
Well, thanks, Eskom. One thing I will say for them is that they do have some advice on their website. If you're thinking of buying a surge protector, I hate to direct anybody to the Eskom website. I'm sure you want to curse as you type out the letters. But there is actually quite good advice on that site on what you should be looking at if you are going to buy a surge protector. The numbers you need to consider, the clamping voltage, which is the level at which the protection will kick in, its energy absorption, how much it can take before the device fails, as well as its response time, how quickly it will kick in when there is a surge. So if you want to understand what you should be shopping for before you go and make the purchase, I can't believe I'm saying this, but go to the Eskom website and read up there. Okay, but now let's come to the issue of the insurance cover. Ernest, as somebody said at the start of the segment, they've heard that insurance companies are taking a dim view on power surges, and immediately somebody's written in saying, surely an insurer's reinsurance would cover this. And don't tell me the underwriters won't negotiate it. The loss ratio will balance out every quarter or so. Why should it be an issue now? What is the position, if there is an industry position, Ernest? Because this is now not, we're not talking about the power surge from an unexpected lightning strike that nobody could see coming. If you knew your power was going to go off between 2 and 4 and come back on at 4 o'clock and you got a surge at 4:02, how would your insurer look at it?
Sure, you've certainly got a quite a technical listener that was able to express things in terms of loss ratio. So certainly a very informed listener there. I think it is a very important question, and the insurance industry is looking at this seriously. There's been not a lot of drastic reactions. The reality is that insurance companies are struggling at the moment through a whole bunch of factors that are making the claims that they're seeing relating to load shedding more frequent, which means that insurance companies are increasingly losing money, and so they need to evaluate to what extent they're going to push up premiums to reflect those, to recover those losses, or potentially refine what the policy covers. I think it would be a dangerous position to say that we are excluding load shedding in entirety. I think the reality of living in South Africa means that is a blanket statement which is probably going to be too harsh on consumers. Yeah. So I would say that to the extent that it is reasonable that consumers can take action, for example, if you've got very, very high valued individual items that you know are more easily exposed to surges, then typically it could be reasonable of your insurance company to tell you that for those items, if you want them covered, we require that you have a surge protector installed. I don't think that that's reasonable as a blanket statement to say that we don't cover power surges at all and that we don't cover load shedding at all. I think that is a blanket statement which I don't expect insurers to make. One of the things being investigated, for example, that your listener was referring to reinsurers. Yeah. Reinsurers are, especially because many of them are typically international companies, reinsurers are considering about, are worried about countrywide or citywide blackouts. And so typically if something like that happens, we don't know how severe the surge is going to be when the power then comes back on.
Yeah.
So there's some risk from a normal load shedding event that damage could be done. I think it's reasonable that if there's a surge off the normal load shedding that you are covered. But it could be that I know some insurers are considering saying that they don't cover a damage after a nationwide or a citywide outage. That is, as far as I know, not much has been finalized in South Africa. But I think consumers should keep an eye on that. And it's always good to understand your insurance policy. But I mean, even if it is covered, you're paying an excess. So I think the more you can protect yourself and look after the things and take proactive steps like surge protectors or UPSs or plugging things out when you know you're not using them for a long time, I think those measures are valuable.
We're talking to Ernest North, who is the co-founder of Naked Insurance, talking about specifically power surges and the damage they might cause to electrical appliances in the home and the implications for insurance cover. Somebody asking, are those plug-in power surge protectors the red ones? I've seen a lot of them that are the colour red, but Ernest, I don't think they're necessarily all red, not so?
No, I think what the listener may be referring to is in some cases, in some corporates especially, those are sort of red plugs where one of the legs has a little square edge as opposed to being the round edge.
Yep.
In many cases, that is a backup power supply, not necessarily a surge protection plug. So don't confuse those two. There are differences. I think in some cases, they may be red, but I don't think you should. I think you should focus on the packaging, on what it says, rather than what the color is.
Absolutely.
But I know many corporates, for example, have those red plugs as providing alternative energy.
Okay, thank you for that. I did a quick Google while you were talking, Ernest, and interestingly, the images that have come up when you Google surge protector plug, the ones that have come up on my screen are largely red in colour. So maybe it is something, but they're not all red in colour. So don't be misled that if you're picking up a red plug, it's automatically a power surge protected one. Just do the reading of what is on the box. Listener WhatsApping to say not all surge protector plugs are created equal. You need to make sure you check the quality, as some are only good for a few surges, which is a very important point. As somebody asking me to repeat, what are the things you meant to look at? Again, I'm quoting the Eskom site here, but you need to consider the clamping voltage, the energy absorption, and the response time. Those are all three things you need to look at closely, and the explanation of what you should be looking for is well explained on the Eskom website if you Google power surge.
I think to add to that, Papa, is that when you look at the manufacturing specifications of your individual device, it will say what natural variations in voltage supply that device can withstand.
Yeah.
And so that will be able, if you look at your fridge's instruction manual, it will tell you what would be bad for this fridge in terms of the voltage, and then you can buy a surge protection plug which specifically cuts out that risk.
Ernest, thank you very much for a helpful conversation this afternoon. Good to have you on the show again.
Thanks, Papa. Chat soon.
Cool. Keep well. Ernest North, the co-founder of Naked Insurance, chatting to us there. Somebody asking where to get them. Ellie's Incredible Connection, Take a Lot at Home, anywhere you would buy your normal plug points, etc. You can ask them for specifically the surge protector plugs. And as somebody points out on the WhatsApp, if you don't have the budget to buy them, the other alternative is to simply walk around unplugging all of these devices before the lights go out and putting them back on again once your load shedding window has ended.